I'm going to present some of the results from my PhD research, which has truly been a collaborative effort with Oregon State University, Virginia Tech, and NSYS, which some of you might recognize as formerly being known FRI in New Zealand, or Forest Research. And today I'm going to focus on the forest management effects on soil processes in planted forest across New Zealand. And before I begin, I want to first define soil quality because it sort of sets the framework or the foundation for where my research questions and objectives stem from. And soil quality is the measurement of the soil's ability to function within ecosystem boundaries to promote root growth, accept, hold, and supply water, hold supply and cycle nutrients, promote optimum gas exchange, and promote biological activities. And these five parameters are considered to be soil attributes, and these are necessary mechanisms that provide the soil function. And when I'm talking about function, when we measure soil quality, you have to very clearly define what your function is. What are you interested in the soil doing? And the most common function of interest is productivity or biomass production. However, it's important to consider that in the future, we're going to start looking at soil quality models that look at other soil functions, such as regulating the hydrologic cycle, carbon balance, maintaining plant and animal biodiversity, wood quality, so keeping that in mind when we look at soil quality. So for many years now, soil quality has been considered the ultimate tool for measuring sustainability on our managed lands. Most soil quality models take soil properties and relate them to tree growth or crop yield. And what they're doing is using soil properties that are actually indicators of specific soil processes that are driving that productivity. So in order to develop a soil quality model for forests, especially plantation forests, it's important to understand the forest management effects on soil processes. So this is where we're going to start with for the research objective. So the objective today is to measure the effects of soil disturbance, fertilization, and tree species selection across a broad range of soils and climatic conditions on nitrogen availability, soil moisture dynamics, and litter and wood decay rates. The research was done at 10 sites across New Zealand. These 10 sites are part of a much grander, larger study that was installed by NSYS from 2000 to 2001. It was installed across 3 years, and there's 35 sites, and the idea was to put these sites on all the soils and all the climatic conditions where plantation forestry is being practiced in New Zealand. And they were put in three groups, and I got the last group. And I was lucky because in the last group they tried to fill in where they left off, and I managed to almost cover the entire gradient of the 35 site quality plots, as you can see in the table. So for temperature, solar radiation, relative humidity, and rainfall, we have a very wide range of values, and this structure is what is giving us our environmental gradient at which to look at treatments. The experimental design is a split-split plot using disturbance, fertilization, and species. At every site, we have 8 plots, and the whole plot is disturbed and undisturbed, and the way this treatment was applied is at each site before the plots were laid out, an area was chosen as highly disturbed. It was usually a skid trail where machinery was running across a lot. And an undisturbed site was considered the minimum disturbance at that site from the previous harvesting operations. The split plot is fertilizer. And the fertilizer application was meant to ensure that no nutrients were limiting to those trees. And on steep slopes, which most of these sites were on, the fertilizer was applied downhill from the no-fert plots to prevent nutrient runoff into unfertilized plots. Then the final split-split plot application was tree species. The first choice of tree species is pretty obvious, radiata pine. New Zealand grows 89-90% of their plantation forests are planted in radiata pine, and that's about 1.6 million hectares, so they have every reason to continue to study radiata pine. The second species is Cupressus lusitanica, which is also known as Mexican cypress. And it's currently considered the most popular alternative to radiata, and for two basic reasons. The first reason is that it's very resistant to drier sites. I mean, it grows really well in dry sites, and it can produce much better than radiata on very low quality sites. And the second reason is that the wood that is inside the Lusitanica wood is very beautiful, and it looks like the kauri wood, which is a native tree to New Zealand, and it's illegal to cut down, so it's high value. And so that's the second reason why they chose cypress. Now, the final interesting thing about this experimental design, you probably already noticed, is that the plots are very, very small. They're 3 meters by 3 meters, and they're planted at a very high density of 40,000 stems per hectare. And the reason for this is to compress a rotation that would normally be 35, 45 years into 4 short years, which is good for doing research or a PhD. That's 4 years long. So here's a look at the plots, and this will show you the variability of growth and the variability of soils. Like I said, they're very small, and in three of the pictures, Turingatarua, Balmoral, and Bottle Lake, the cypress species is in the foreground. And up on the top right-hand corner, that's a site on the North Island on the East Coast that gets a lot of rain. And these pictures were taken at the beginning, the very end of the third year. So in 3 years, we are getting, some of the trees are just grown like crazy, and then you can see at Bottle Lake, they're just not even getting started yet. So at every site, I measured nitrogen availability by doing a 7-day anaerobic incubation on the soil from 0 to 15 centimeters, doing a KCl extraction and analyzing for ammonium. Soil moisture measurements were gravimetric samples taken from 0 to 15 centimeters every 40 days. Litter decomposition was a typical litter bag study. All the litter bags were placed at the beginning of the year, and every 40 days, one litter bag was removed, and mass loss was used to determine the decomposition rate. And for the radiata plots, we had radiata needles in the litter bags, and for the cypress plots, we had cypress needles in the litter bags. Finally, we have wood decay, which was measured by installing radiata doweling at a 45-degree angle in the 0 to 15 centimeter soil surface, and two stakes were collected every 80 days, and mass loss was used to determine the decay rate. So on to the results. We have treatment on the x-axis and the measurement on the y-axis. This is available in for year 4. And as you can see, and it's not surprising, fertilizer treatment increased available in, and we had no effect of disturbance or species. Now looking at soil water content. Taken across all measurements, the cypress had more soil water than the radiata. And one of the reasons for this, as I mentioned earlier, cypress grows much better on drier sites. So the theory is that due to its higher water use efficiency, it's utilizing less water than the radiata. And looking at the fertilizer effects on soil water content, we have a consistent increase in soil water underneath fertilized plots versus no fert. And this was surprising because usually you expect fertilized trees to be bigger and to have higher ET rates and to be using more water. But for a different project that we were working on these plots, we also happened to measure stem flow, water coming down the stem. And on the fertilized plots that have bigger trees, the amount of stem flow is incredible. So my initial theory on this is that there's a lot of water coming down the larger trees and staying in the soil and producing and resulting in more water underneath the fertilized plots. Now looking at litter decomposition, we had no effect of disturbance or fertilization on litter, but we had a very significant effect of species. Litter decomposition was much more rapid underneath the cypress compared to the radiata. And because of the setup of this experiment, we're also looking at the climatic gradient, the environmental conditions. And with these soil processes, we would definitely expect climatic variables to highly influence these soil rates, soil processes. And so for litter, I definitely expected rainfall, temperature, solar radiation, all of those things to influence it. So I just did a quick relationship to show that it's definitely going to play a huge role in affecting these processes. And this is the mean air temperature at each site and the mean litter decomposition constant at each site for the 10 sites. And so this is important to consider when we're looking at forest management effects on soil processes. Obviously, it's not the only thing that we're going to have to start looking at. And next, looking at wood decomposition, we had a significant effect of fertilizer and tree species. Fertilization increased wood decay, and there was a higher wood decay underneath the cypress species as well. So in summary, forest management is definitely affecting the soil processes. Fertilization and tree species selection is having a significant effect. Fertilization is increasing in availability, wood decay rates, and soil moisture. Under the cypress trees, we're finding higher soil moisture and higher litter and wood decay rates. Disturbance has not had an effect on these soil processes in this study. And as I mentioned earlier, climatic conditions may have a greater effect on these soil processes compared to forest management. So what's next? Forest management, like I said, is definitely affecting soil processes. However, to measure soil processes takes a lot of time, a lot of money, and is not very convenient, because one of the criteria for a good soil quality indicator is that it's easy to measure and fast. So the next step is to look at the relationship of soil properties to the soil processes in order to identify which soil properties are best describing these important soil processes. And finally, that choosing the indicators that relate to those soil properties is a good place to start for building a soil quality model for planted forest. Thanks. No, I didn't. Yeah, I didn't do that, but I was excited that the wood decay was also faster under the cypress, because that was a uniform sample, so it was decaying quicker underneath the cypress, even though, because the cypress needles are much smaller. So in many ways, you expect that to be slower. But the fact that the wood decay was also faster underneath the cypress indicates that things are going on underneath the cypress that are not going on underneath radiata. And the cypress does have association with mycorrhizae that the radiata doesn't.